washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you fully trusting in His grace and love? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom smiling, Savior, sighed, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Are you washed
in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom comes, will your robe...
160! 160!
Your souls be ready for the mansions bright, and be washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Are you washed
in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Amen. Before we sing that fourth verse, what are you thankful for about Jesus washing us with His blood, cleansing us? What are you thankful for about that? Yes, Nicole.
That my son came over last night.
Wonderful. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yes,
Trisha. He did it out of love for us.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? What are you thankful for about Jesus washing you, your heart, white as snow? What are you thankful for about that? Yes, Pat.
By the cleansing power of the blood.
Amen, amen, amen. Let's sing that fourth verse.
Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood.
Together in prayer this morning. Brother Mike, would you lead us in prayer?
Dear Lord, we thank you for this day that you provide and bring us here safely. And for those that did not able to make it out due to weather or other circumstances, just have your hand over those. As we get ready now, just learn more about you and your word, Lord. Give us the day that you provide, that we can give you all of our glory and honor and praise to you, Lord. And you'll bless the morning, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Stay standing for our pledges. Come on up, pledge leaders. Teens. Young people, as they help lead our pledges. What do you want? Okay. Let's start with our American flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands, one Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again, with life and liberty to all who believe.
I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against God.
Thank you. You may be seated. This time we'll have our Sunday school offering as we give to God of our tithes and offerings to Him. Next week, Next week we have Baptism and Membership Sunday. So if you'd like to get baptized, or if you've already been baptized but you haven't joined yet, I know some of our young people, some of our adults as well, haven't officially joined the church yet, we'd love for you to do it next week. So let me know, and so we can go over that with you, and recommend you to the church. So if you are interested in joining, along with one who will be joining next week, let me know. All right. This time we'll have our ushers come as we give to the Lord our tithes and offerings to God. Let us bow together in prayer.
Dear Lord, thank you for the day of the money about to save the Lord Jesus, my prayer. Amen.
Amen. Birthdays or anniversaries?
Hey.
Armani's. All right. And Darnell's. That's right. I remember this last year. They both have the same day? 11th and the 13th. Okay. Tomorrow. And so we're looking forward to that. Maybe we can do a little celebration next door. All right. 11th and 13th. So Monday and Wednesday. So. Looking forward to these birthdays. Come on up, young people. Anyone else with a birthday? March.
A later March birthday for some of you.
Happy birthday. Wow, 16 years on this earth. And you're 16 too? Wow, okay. So what are you thankful to God for in the 16 years he's given you?
Let me wake up every day and guide me.
Amen, that's good.
To be me.
Okay, good. There's no other one like Armani. Amen, and he made you special. Amen. All right, good job. All right, anyone else? No birthday? No other birthdays? Okay. This time, we'll sing our kids' song. And youth, we are practicing, starting this morning, we have an Easter song we're getting ready for the Easter program. So I have a CD, so we can sing it with the CD first, and then that way Mrs. Slepidus can learn it as well. It's in the Wild Chorus Book. It is 1. Okay, so while we're doing that, we will have the adults be in here. But anyway, so let's sing our kids' song this morning, our youth song, I guess we could call it. Let's do the old-fashioned Deep and Wide. How many know Deep and Wide? Come on up and help me if you know Deep and Wide. We're going to do it with our hands. We're going to do it with our fingers, and if you're really athletic, we're going to do it with our feet, okay? All right, so we're going to wake everybody up this morning, so help us out. All right, let's try it. Deep and wide, deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide.
It flows for me, it flows for you, and
We're going to do it with our fingers, okay? Only we're going to switch it up on you, so watch carefully, all right? Wide and deep, deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing wide and deep. Hallelujah, for it's deep and wide. Wide and deep, there's a fountain flowing wide and deep. That washes white as snow, for it is deep and wide, wide and deep. There's a fountain flowing wide and deep. Hallelujah, for it's deep and wide, wide and deep. There's a fountain flowing wide and deep. Very good. Whew. A lot of singing. You guys up for the last verse? Okay, you're going to have to do it with your feet now, okay? So this will be wide, and this will be deep. Or I'm sorry, this will be wide, and this will be deep, okay? All right? Everyone ready? Okay, you can do it in your seat with your feet too, except Nancy. She's got a knee brace on. You got to keep her kneecap in place. So she'll give us an update about that right after this song. Okay, let's give it a try. Deep and wide, deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Hallelujah, for it's deep and wide, deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. It flows for me, it flows for you, and all that you have to do is plunge beneath the crimson flow that washes white as snow. For it is wide and deep, deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing wide and deep. Hallelujah, for it's wide and deep, deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing wide and deep. All right. I'm out of breath. Okay, at this time, we'll have Mr. Hodge come and take prayer requests for the teens and the adults. Actually, teens and kids are coming with me into the next room to practice. And the adults are staying in here. And tonight we're going to have our Easter program practice at 6 o'clock. So for all choir members, so we can start learning. We have two new songs. And the kids have one new song. And then the script. So kids and teens, come on over. Next door here in the foster hall. How are you guys doing?
Have a surgery? April 15th.
All right. Go ahead, man.
Pray for the pastor and his family and my sister and my brother.
Okay, just two items, please, just to keep it in the shuffle. Okay, so you want a pastor?
Yes.
Okay, and who else again you mentioned?
My sister and the pastor.
Okay. All right, you guys have the pastor and his sister. Did you mention someone else? Is there anyone else you mentioned beside your pastor and your sister? That's it, right?
And my brother.
Okay, your brother.
My brother.
Okay, you start that part. Alright, anyone else? Really quick. Okay, let's take one question. Prayer all the staff here. Prayer all. Repeat that again. Prayer all the staff here at the moment. Prayer all the staff in program. I mean, program and the group home. Okay. Brothers and sisters, that you'll meet their needs. Also pray that tonight you'll meet the needs of Jimmy. And also you pray for the pastor and the folks at his home, that you'll meet their needs and pray for the ones that who are not saved, that they will come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and come to the peace that he alone gives. Father, you also pray this morning that you'll be with Joe and meet his needs, and Lord, meet the needs that they have, that he has there, God, that you will answer, Lord, and his prayer request that he has, Lord. And most of all, as we walk today, Lord, guide us, God, to work. We also pray to this morning, Lord, to meet his needs and our needs. We ask you, Lord, to give us the strength and help and the interruption need to go from day to day, Lord, and to do it after the Lord as you go about today's activities. Be with our family. We know their needs. We don't know, Lord, their exact needs. But Lord, we thank you that you know all things. And we ask you, Lord, to meet their needs in accordance with your will. And Lord, we pray for different requests that were made. We just pray for for all the other needs that we have on this list, dear God, that you will meet those needs. We thank you, Lord, for the rain you have sent this morning. We thank you, also, Lord, for the many people who are invited to come to the services today, Lord. Those from the firemen and also the calls, Lord, that you meet those needs, that many will come and will hear the gospel. And most of all, we pray that some will be saved and come to Jesus Christ as their Savior. Bless the service today, Lord, and again, Lord, we pray for those who might be coming, not to be discouraged because of the rain, but they will come and enjoy the blessings that will be shared today in this house of prayer. And Father, we give you thanks, we give you praise for answers to each prayer, Lord, that is made this morning, each request that you answer those prayers. Not forgetting the prayer for Joe, that you'll be with him, Lord, in his needs. Lord, that you will comfort him, Lord, and encourage his heart, Lord, to be faithful, Lord, in serving you and walk each day in the light of God's word. Thank you, Lord, again for today, Lord, that we can worship you, Lord, and hear together, Lord, in this building, where you can be glorified and you can be magnified in singing and preaching, and that your name will be glorified in all things. And Lord, to you we give all the glory, all the praise, and thanks. For we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mr. Hodge. I think the teens are in the other room. Okay. All right, let us turn in our Bibles this morning as we study the Word of God. What really counts in the church? What really counts in the church as we look at glorifying God and worshiping Him? Let us go to Ecclesiastes 12:13. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Ecclesiastes 12:13. All right. We're going to look at the priorities of the church.
So let's write some of these things down, kind of get some thoughts going this morning, get our memory banks working. I know it's early because we lost an hour.
Ecclesiastes
12:13.
That's where we are. All right, what are the priorities of the church? Who can help us?
What should be the priorities of the church? What do you think? Yes?
Duty of man.
Okay. All right, we're just taking thoughts in general. Yes, Carrie. Okay. Priorities of the church would be soul winning. Okay. Reaching out to the lost to try to win them and then bring them to church. We went out yesterday and we had a nice time, Dylan and I, through the streets. Got a bunch of houses covered and
some people that talked to us. We were able to give the full plan of salvation. But some trusting in their money or in other things. And so they were not ready to trust Christ as yet. But pray for the seeds that was that were planted. All right, what else is a priority of the church? What's that?
Baptism.
Okay, good.
That we want to baptize people after they get saved.
Okay, Carol?
Edifying believers.
Edifying believers. That's an important part of the church. What else?
Uniformity.
Okay, unity. Good. The unity of the believers as we come to church. If we need to have unity, Evan?
Joining the church.
Okay, that joy will come obedience to God and His Word. Okay, what else? We're missing the first one, though.
Gentlemanness.
What's that,
Maria? Gentlemanness.
Yes, good. Okay, obeying God's commandments is very important. Very important. God has commandments for the local church. Eric?
Pray a lot.
Okay, good. Prayer. Prayer is an important priority in the church. Good. James and Eric, do you guys mind taking off your hats?
Oh, sure.
Yes. I gave them those hats last week.
Yeah, well, we got
an
usher.
Yes, you got an usher. You guys are all ready. I see you have your collared shirts on. That's good. Yes.
Discipleship.
Okay, that's part of edifying believers. We put that under discipleship, okay? But what's the first and foremost reason, priority of the church?
who has their hand? Carol.
Praise and worship of the Lord.
Okay, so what would we call that? Praising and worshiping the Lord. It's the theme of our study we've been doing the last. Glorifying God, right? So the first and foremost overarching priority of the church is glorifying God. Okay, so if we glorify God, then we will be doing all these things.
And praising Him. Okay, the pressure cooker of 21st century living confronts the believer with a myriad of choices. The slow pace of the frontier has given way to the life in the fast lane. The little house in the prairie has become the little house on the freeway. The believer faces daily the responsibility for determining how he will spend his time, money, energy, and ability. What commitments will he make? What obligations will he fulfill? What must he or she do today? What can he or she put off till tomorrow? What can he say no to? The answers to those questions are determined by the individual's priorities. What is really important after all? Family, community, church, neighborhood, parents. One's priorities ultimately influence one's choices. The church has similarly come into a more complex and busy center of activity as well, right? That church is, now church is busy with the things that have to be done in this 21st century, such as social media, such as the website, such as using different ways to communicate in this 21st century. The white steepled edifice that symbolized the simplicity of life and its choices has in many instances multiplied into structures. The danger that exists for both individuals and churches is that the complexity will be accompanied by confusion over priorities. While the method and means need to be dynamic, flexible, and open to change, the purpose of the church's existence remains one singular thing. And what is that? To glorify God. Okay? The message of the church is unchanging, proclaiming the good news of God's grace in Christ. The ministry of the church continues through successive generations
to proclaim the gospel to the lost and bring the saints to the church maturity. And that's our statement on our statement of faith. If you have our constitution, it says our first mission is to glorify God in seeking the salvation of the lost and the edifying of the saints. So we encompass all those things in our purpose statement. Similarly, the priorities of the believer and his church are established by God and communicated through the Word. They serve as a strong foundation on which one's witness and ministry rest. At the same time, they provide a track upon which the ministry runs. They guard the believer and the church from chasing fantasies and fads in the accomplishment of the heavenly mission. What are some unscriptural fads that are popular in some churches? Anyone? Unscriptural fads that come for a little while, then go away. Maybe you can think of your past years in churches, you know, that no one's doing that anymore, and it's come and gone. Anyone?
What about the music in some churches and some music CDs that people buy today?
Yes, okay, that's a good observation, Evan. There's a lot of music in churches today that, and guess what, in 10 years, they will not be playing that music, they will not be performing that music and entertaining with that music, and it'll be considered passé. Why? Why is that? Anybody?
Because it's working with the trends and that kind of music, like the world's music, it becomes obsolete quickly.
Yes, that's a good observation. We're looking at fads or trends. Okay, the world's music goes through stages, and a lot of times the world's music is considered unsavory. 5 years, 10 years later, we think of 80s music, okay? If we listen back to 80s music, you know, I grew up in the 80s, so that's... But the common cultural music of the 80s, do a lot of people think that's popular today? No, why? Because it has a certain sound from that era. Okay, so they wouldn't play it today. Or the 70s music, or the 60s music, or the 90s music. So we see the world's music goes through fads and trends. Well, what's the danger then of using the world's music with some good words, but the world's styles of music? What should good music, what should church music be like? Let's ask those questions. Okay, what should church music be like, Eric?
Well, church music should be praying for people.
Good. Prayerful music, good.
And praying with the Holy Ghost.
Good, praying in the Holy Ghost kind of music, good.
And tongues. That's
okay. How I know. No, not tongues, though. Tongues were for the first century. The people who claim they speak in tongues today are actually speaking a lot of the same syllables. Shamalama, 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 shamalama. And it means absolutely nothing. Okay.
People should go to church.
Yes.
And worship God.
Uh-huh, okay. All right, so what should Christian music in church sound like? Should it be considered passé in 10 years? Oh, that's unpopular now. Don't play that music. Oh, no, not that song. Should last forever. Very good. Okay, God's music should be timeless. Timeless. Okay, that means that we can sing God's music today and it still have a nice, joyful, triumphant, uplifting, edifying sound that we, you know what, we'll be able to sing that same song 30, 50 years from now and it still have an edifying message. Okay? Why? Because God's music should be timeless. Okay, what else? What other principles for God's music? Carrie?
Well, it's based off of corporate, so it can be basically everybody in unification that wants us not if everybody went to everybody's personal styles without the teaching or from the church, and it's first of all, it's doctrinal, what we sing and we worship, but the words that we sing ought to edify God, and you know, what we learn with music as well too. You know, Lucifer, he was made as an instrument. He was made with pipes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as unto the Lord, when he was the preferred angel for the Lord. Since it's corporate worship, it's something that we can come here and we can all worship God together.
Okay, should be God's music should be corporate. In other words, everyone should be able to sing it corporately. A lot of the song, the churches you go to today that have the more entertainment style songs, you can barely keep up with the different musicians. Why? Because it's hard. The music is hard, number one. Number two, you're just listening to a few singers up on the stage. You know, and that's not what church music is. Church music is timeless and it's corporate. Everyone should be able to get it. Everyone should be able to learn it, and it should be learned quickly. Why? So we can sing the words in praise to God. Okay? All right, what other fads that have come on the scene and have gone? Anyone think of any? Someone else besides Eric. Evan?
Maybe in the Catholic Church when they sprinkle babies.
Okay, yes. The Catholic Church has gone through a lot of fads. And some, when they're not popular anymore, such as confession, you know, then they call it reconciliation and kind of don't really talk about it too much until it becomes popular again. Well, I've gone to reconciliation the other day. What's reconciliation? Well, it's confession in a booth to a priest. Don't you know that's bad? And don't you know that those priests are dirty scoundrels, you know? And so today, confession is looked on as passé and, oh, that's gross, you know? Whereas 30 years ago, it was very popular. So you see what the devil does with the different churches. He just kind of hides certain added doctrines and then hides them if they're not popular. Okay? Any other things like that? Fads or added church things that are not in the scriptures? Nancy?
The Catholic Church don't read the Bible. They read the Latin, their Bible, but they don't read our Bible.
Yes, they read... They used to read in Latin up until 1964. Can you imagine going to a church, just hearing a language you have no idea what it's saying? But that's what they used to do: speak in Latin. Why? Because the priests and the leadership didn't want the people to have. Here, Pastor, let me get that. You got it. All right, we should have Mike do this. You need to enlist your helpers here. Thank you, Pastor.
The Catholic Church, when I went to a Catholic school, we didn't study the Bible.
Yes. It was...
We went to the church on Sundays and they didn't even preach to God about the Bible.
No, they just read a homily out of their own little books. And most of the time did not have much scripture at all in it. Okay, yeah, so that was popular in the Catholic Church then, but then public opinion said, wait, as more people got saved... You know, and more churches were studying the Bible. The Catholic leadership said, well, if we keep doing this, no one's going to come anymore. So they said, all right, now we'll read it in English. Okay? So you can just see the fads and trends of other churches, and now they have it in English. But nonetheless, they don't encourage anyone to bring their Bible. They don't encourage people to read their Bible. Why? Because then they'd find out, they'd find some... Here, let me get this one, Pastor. Then they'd find some unscriptural trends in their church. You know, they don't want any Catholic person reading Matthew 23, where it talks about, call no man your father upon earth, for you have one father, that is your father in heaven. You know, if a Catholic, faithful Catholic reads that, they'd say, what, they've been telling me to call them father all these years, and Jesus said, call no man your father. That goes against what the teachings are. Or call no man rabbi or master, but one, that is God. Yes?
Or they might not want a faithful Catholic, to read about how they fast. Because they
Publicly, yes. Publicly. Yeah, that's the whole Ash Wednesday thing. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, they lose a lot of Catholics that way.
Yes, it's true. Let not your right hand know what your left hand is doing. That's what Jesus says. Not boast about how you're fasting and boast about how you're giving up something, you know. Okay, Carrie.
A lot of churches and colleges and seminaries have lost the distinction because they decide to change from the traditional King James Bible and then they go to the ESV and then that's not good enough and then they go to the NIV and then it's just bring whatever you want. And then no one's consistent anymore through your Bible reading time and stuff like that. So it's not, again, like unified. So they lose their unification.
Good.
We've seen two seminaries and one good college go down for and too many churches just because they start changing and go with the fad. Well, the newer churches are better and newer is not better. But then they just lose so much of the unification.
Yes, that's true. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 12:13. We'll read this verse. So multiple Bible versions. At first it's just one new version, but then they say, oh, what about this one? And then they bring in another version. And then they say, oh, you can bring whatever version you want. And then what happens to memorization of God's Word? Goes down the tubes. What happens to the God's word says what it says. Well, this verse over here in the ESV contradicts this verse over here in the NIV, so it's kind of a loose interpretation. And then the preacher just preaches a loose interpretation of God's word. And that's what happens. That's how Satan slowly gets people down that slope. That's a fad. The multiple Bible versions is a fad. And they have to change the version. Why? Because even if they stay with one, they say, all right, we're going to only use the ESV. Well, which one are you using, the 2001 ESV or the 2011 ESV? Because they're both different, and they'll say different things. So that once you start going down the fads, you have to keep going with the fads. That's the problem. All right, who has it? Ecclesiastes 12:13. Nicole?
Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man.
And verse 14 as well.
For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil.
Okay. So one day God's going to judge us, so therefore we should fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. It's not our job to change God's word and to change the church to be what we want it to be, but we need to keep it to what God wants it to be. Okay, so not going with the fads. God's truth is timeless. Okay, God's truth is timeless. That means it's going to stay the same. His church should be timeless as well. Still church. We are still church. And we are still teaching the same things as they were teaching 100 years ago, 200 years ago. Why? Because God's truths are timeless. Okay? All right. Now let us go to the next portion. The priorities for the church and the believer. Let's turn over to Leviticus 2 Corinthians 5, verse 11. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 11. The priorities for the church and the believer are as old as time, spanning the history of man from Eden, the Garden of Eden, to the eternal city. They are the priorities of honoring God for who He is, worship, and honoring what He says, obedience. The means by which a believer and a believing congregation bring glory to God, at the same time they give guidance for believers and churches, influencing devotion and duty, choices and commitments. Let's examine the evidence, okay? Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:11. Who has that one for us? Okay, Pat.
Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience.
Okay, so Both the Old and New Testaments bear evidence that the priorities of worship and obedience are designed by God for the outworking of His will. In the Old Testament, in the Garden of Eden, Adam's substitution of Eve for God as the central object of his affection and worship resulted in his willful disobedience. Do you realize that? Back in the garden, what did Adam do? Instead of saying, "The Lord is the only one I'll glorify and obey," he changed it to who? To his wife. "Well, my wife wants me to eat this fruit because she tasted it and she said it's good. So, therefore, I've got to listen to my wife if I want a happy home." Okay? Well, we've got to realize that God supersedes our husband, our wife, our children even. You know, our children, they can't be calling the shots for the home. You know, the world tells us today, you know, put children first. Children are first in everything. You know, put your children first. No, is that a scriptural philosophy? Children first. Now, what would our home be like, Mrs. Rice, if our children were first?
I would drown.
You would drown. What would they want?
Everything.
Everything. And we'd have to please them. Oh, we went to the store and they would like something. We got to get it for them because children first. Well, the children want this, so let's please them. Let's give the children. No, and then what happens when they become teenagers? It's even worse if your children are first. Oh, boy. Then you have to let them go to this place and that place. What?
I said, "Can we get ready?"
Get ready, yeah. Paul just turned 13. Oh, boy. And then what happens when they're adults? Oh, well, I got to keep my children first. Then you have to give in to this and that. No, we can't give in to our children if it's against the Word of God. That's what we need to learn and realize. We cannot sacrifice the principles of God's Word for our children. They need us to stand on the principles of God's Word so there is continuity and consistency in the home. If we put them first ahead of God, then what's going to happen? They're going to say, "Well, my home is kind of this way and that way and this way and that way." Why? Because it's whatever they say goes, okay? And if their priorities shift and if they're close to God at the moment, great. But then when they're not close to God, then the home drifts, okay? So that's why we can't base it upon a person in our home. We have to base it upon Jesus and His unchanging principles. Okay, so if we always have the Word of God as our consistent teaching and following, then we're not going to have to worry about people who go astray. Because our children at times will go astray, and we will go astray. You know, what if it's based on my word? Well, I always thought of this. You know, we as adults. Well, I always did it this way in my upbringing. Is that always right? What you did in your upbringing? No. Not necessarily. Okay, everything has to be checked by it. So it cannot be based upon our whims, wishes, or what we did when we were in our home and our parents, what they did. We have to have a guide. Okay, Adam's skewed priorities result in wrong choices. Wrong choices result in disobedience. Disobedience resulted in sin. Sin resulted in death. Israel, God's choice to be His people, was eventually given the law as a code of ethics and conduct as a guide. Paul called it a schoolmaster or tutor to outline the specifics of the priorities God demanded. The summary, called the Ten Commandments, as Maria said, is divided nearly equally into two major categories. What are those two categories? Do you need a drink of water, Regina?
Yeah.
Okay, she needs some water. I think, yes. Do you need anything else?
I got a minute.
Okay. All right, let's pray for Sister Regina. And so, coming back to two major categories, what are the Ten Commandments divided into? Thou shalt have, if we want,
thou
we can go over there.
No other gods before me.
Okay, good. That's the first commandment. What's the second commandment?
Faith.
What's that?
Faith and obedience. Obey in the faith.
Good, okay? Obey, obedience and faith. Okay? The first four commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me, thou shalt not make any graven image, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, and remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Who are those all relating to? Who? To God. Good. To God. So the first four commandments relate to God and worship. Okay, and what about the last six commandments? Thou shalt, or honor thy
mother and father.
Honor thy father and mother. What's the next one? Thou shalt not
kill.
Kill. Thou shalt not
steal.
Commit adultery. Covet. And bear false witness. Okay? So who are those related to? To who? Ourself and to man, to our fellow man. Okay, so here God gives us worship and obedience.
Mankind, obedience. How are we going to relate to our fellow man?
And we're praying that that our fellow man will see God in us. Okay, a kind of commentary with emphasis on the practical application of these priorities is written in Leviticus 26. As Moses instructed those who would enter the promised land, he reiterated the priorities that worship that Jehovah had established for his people. Fear the Lord thy God and serve him. The challenge is to put we're going to have to stop here so we can get ready for our morning worship service. Let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to look into your word. We thank you for the clear instructions in it that we don't have to go based upon our feelings or other people in our families, but that our homes should be guided by your scriptural truth. Help us to read it each day and to love it and to love you with all our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Getting the books for a choir.
Okay, Evan, I think they're in the other room. They're in the fellowship hall. I think the box got taken.